the body of Christ healed. Because if you've ever had an accident and you know, your leg is injured, your head is injured, you don't want just your head healed. You want your body healed. Right. We are His body. He wants us all healed. So let's not forget that when we're praying. I told Him, Lord, don't have the faith to pray for the body for all of these people. He says, devil, it's one person you're praying for. You're praying for my body. If you think of it like that,
that's good.
Your faith is enough.
Oh, that's
so
good.
So think about that when you pray. Pray for that.
That's the good.
Body that is.
And you know, another reason God wants you healed and you're going to live a long life. Think of all the wisdom that's in Kenneth Copeland. He's 80-something years old. Do you want that to leave? I mean, there's a lot of information there, but God don't. So we as individuals, as God matures us, think about the power that's going to be in us as we age. And we need help to do it.
Amen. Right?
Joyce Meyer's an example. She's in her 70s. So that's very important. Don't be selfish. That's why God wants you to have a long life and be in health.
Yeah.
Is to do the work of His ministry. And He's put all those years in you. So you need the fruit of what you're going to do.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff this morning.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Thurston. Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Okay. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you so much for giving us your word.
Yes, amen.
Giving us your truth through the Holy Spirit. Let us listen to the Holy Spirit and learn your ways. Get your perspective on things, Father. How you see things. Give us your perspective and let us walk in that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Any questions about last week? Last week we talked about if then. We talked about the new covenant and the terms of the new covenant and how Jesus was given the terms of the new covenant. Do we have any questions about that? I don't want to move on until...
I love it.
Okay. All right. I gave you a sheet that you can do. First off, I gave you a sheet for John 14, and it was all filled out. And I gave you another sheet for 15 that you can fill in yourself. So if you don't have any problems with that, that's fine. If you do, let me know.
And we had fun doing it.
I can, yeah. Good. Good. It is a good way of remembering, helping you to remember Jesus' words. So did everybody get a copy of that? Anybody need a copy? You need a copy?
I do.
You got a copy?
Okay.
Did you get a copy?
Deborah
didn't get one.
She did.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Here you go. Anyone else? Anybody got it?
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, we'll move along. I don't have any questions about that. You know, even from an early age, I was smart. I had books that I would read, and I would find out these people would talk about how a dog would eat a bone.
That's a scientist.
And I thought about that, and I thought, now that doesn't make a lot of sense. I've seen these bones, beef bones, you know, they're big bones, they're hard. Now, I've seen a dog take a bone and bite on it. And I'm going, that stupid dog. You can't eat that bone. That bone is a whole lot harder than anything you got in your body. You know? It just doesn't make any sense. A dog trying to eat a bone. And then he goes and buries it, right? I guess because he can't eat it. I don't know. You know, just a stupid dog. You know, you watch him. Yeah, I don't have a lot of patience, you know. Dog be chewing on that bone. Went, eh, I'm not going to watch him chewing on a bone. It just, you know, and the bones just still there, you know. I don't understand it. So anyway, I never could figure out this. You know, the bone doesn't have any meat on it. He's gnawing on a dry bone. You know? It's like, doesn't make any sense. But of course, you don't expect dogs to be very smart, do you? Not like me. So, yeah, dog, you know, yeah, he just worries that bone and going, get grief, you know, get something better to do. You know, I'm going to go play, you know. I just leave the dog, I go play. Don't worry about the dog. So, I got older, and come to find out. What did I find out, Brother David? Do you know? About dogs and bones?
I guess you found out that he could eat it.
A dog could eat a bone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, a big old hard bone, dry bone, he can eat that whole bone, swallow it and everything?
He breaks it down and eats it.
He breaks it down and eats
it. It helps his teeth and he gets the marrow out of it.
That's right.
And it also entertains them.
Well, that's a revelation. I mean, I was sure that dog was just wasting his time with that bone.
But you know, think about it too. If you feed them chicken bones, which are soft, it's dangerous for them.
Oh yeah,
bones, which are soft, it's dangerous for them.
I could understand if he was with a chicken bone, you know, because that would be small and it's brittle. He
could
do that.
Yeah.
But this is a beef bone. This is a huge bone, you know. It's like hard, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could kill somebody with it. I mean, for Samson, took the jawbone of an ass and killed a bunch of Philistines with it. You know, I mean, this is a hard bone, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And yet, because he stayed with it, because he stayed with it, right? And he didn't forget to stay with it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Remembering is important. You got to stay with it.
Yeah.
You got to stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14 through 17, actually 13, if you want to include that, he kept repeating things over and over again, because repeating things is a good way of
remembering.
Memorizing. Remembering, yes. So this is a good way of remembering. Mm-hmm. This table, you know, and this if and then. He kept saying this over and over again. Help them to remember. Help them remember what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit I'm going to give you, and He will help you to remember what I have told you. Yes. Remember. Okay. So let us remember that we begin this study here of John 14, 15, and 16. Or actually, we were looking at the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Amen. We begin by saying that the main thing on Jesus' mind this night was to tell the disciples what he wanted them to do and the resources they had to help them to do it. That's what the two main things on his mind that he wanted to talk about were those two things.
Amen.
What I want you to do, here's your resources. Mm-hmm. What you got to help you do it. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
So, he started out in verse 1 through 4 of John 14. He said, don't be troubled.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want you to do. I don't want you to be troubled. I want you to have peace. I don't want you to have trouble. And then in verses 9 through 12, he told them, I want you to believe me and I want you to believe God. Believe me and believe God. Believe in me. And in verse 12, he says, I want you to do the works that I did. I want you to do the works that I did. All right? And he's already answered. He's already promised them to hear their prayers and to answer them. That was in verses 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, right? So next he tells them another thing he wants them to do and tells them of another resource they have to assist them, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
That's right. In verses 15 through 24, Jesus and the Father will be with them and in them by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. And what was it he wanted them to do in those verses? Do you remember? What was it he wanted them to do?
Love.
Cheat sheet. Cheat sheet. Love.
Uh-huh.
Keep my commandments and love. Yeah. Keep my commandments and love. All right? So we want to look at, let's see, we're going to look at verse 25 in John 14. And he says, "These things I have spoken to you." Now, what he's done here, he says, "I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be in you through the Holy Spirit. The Father will be with you and in you." Now he circles back around. He's coming back around, okay? And he goes over some of the same things he just told them to help them to remember, okay? In verse 25, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." While I am still with you. Okay? So, I'm going to hand out some sheets here so you can kind of look up this. I think I've got enough for everyone. There you go. You can kind of follow along with me on this. Let's look at verse 25. You go down halfway down the page. There's verse 25 for us. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." Verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Okay? He will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, this remembrance of what he has said is very, very important.
Yes.
Because this is what Jesus said. Now, Moses gave the law, remember, and that law is very important. So if you look at the top of your page, it says remembering is important. And here's some verses from Joshua 1, and then after that, from Deuteronomy. So Joshua is told by God, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then," now get this, "for then, if you do this, if you don't let this depart out of your mouth, if you meditate it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you'll have what?
Good success.
Good success." Wow, that's important, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, you want to have good success in life? Here it is. Here it is. All right. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6:6-9. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Everywhere you go, everywhere you sit down, these words are supposed to be staring at you, right? Keep these words. Keep these words. They are very important. Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's look down at 27. Let's go down to verse 27 down there. And let's read what he says next. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Peace." Now remember, we talked about in the verses 1 through 4, he says, "Don't be troubled."
Don't be troubled.
So now he's circling back around, right? And he's coming back and he says, okay, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. What kind of peace does the world want to give us?
False
peace?
Temporary peace.
Temporary peace.
No,
it's the peace of our circumstances.
Right.
Right? In other words, if no one's attacking me from outside, if everything is peaceful around me, I feel like I got peace, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about, is it? He said, in the world you'll have trouble.
Yes.
Right? But I have overcome the world.
Yes.
Overcome. So he's telling his disciples, you're going to have trouble in the world. Well, where's the peace? What kind of peace is he talking about then? What kind of peace is he talking about?
Eternal heavenly peace.
Yeah, he's talking about this eternal heavenly peace. But if every circumstance around me is all turmoil, where can I find peace? You look at the world around us, there's turmoil. There's crime, corruption, there's all kinds of stuff.
If you look that word up in Greek, world,
yep.
It literally means, in the Greek, it says, ruler, the epithet of Satan, ruler. So what he's saying is that not as Satan's given you in the world, because he's the ruler of it, but
the rest of this world.
He's overcame it.
Amen. Amen. So, the peace, you think of it this way, Corrie ten Boom, all right, lived in Holland with her family, and they started taking in Jews. When the Germans took over, they wanted to persecute the Jews. So she and her family started taking in the Jews and hiding them, all right? And it was very dangerous because they were looking for them, you know, looking for Jews anywhere. And so a guy came into their house and said, I'm going to help you out. So he built a secret room. He built a secret wall and made a special room so that they could hide these Jewish refugees, you know, from getting killed. And so they had this hiding place. And she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And this is where the Jews could hide. And so when the people came and they would search their house, they couldn't find them. And finally they came in and they took them, they arrested everyone they could find. They arrested her, her family, and took them out of the house, but they never found that room. And 4 days later, her neighbors came over and got the Jews out of that room. They were still there and got them to a safe place. Because they never found that hiding place.
Mm-hmm.
But was that the hiding place she was talking about?
No.
Because in the book, it says, you see, while waiting in line, all right, while waiting in line to hopefully get out of prison, she'd been in prison for quite some time, a concentration camp. And waiting in line, she thought of God's perfect timing and the hiding place of His will. Of His will. She found a hiding place in God's will. Mm-hmm. Through all that she went through, she was hidden. And she found that she could have peace. And she realized God's will and His plan. And it doesn't matter what's going on outside. Right. It didn't matter to Peter, John, what was going on outside. They had God's peace. Paul says, peace to you. Right? Regardless of my circumstances, I have learned to be content in all circumstances, because it's not the circumstances that are important. Amen? It's walking in peace. We have, y'all know we work with Chinese people coming over. I'm going to finish up with this. We work with Chinese people that come over here. And we had a group of people that just came for one time. We knew we only had them one night. But we asked them, what is it? Muffin asked this question. It's wonderful. She's a wonderful question. She's great. She asked this question. She says, what is it that you want to do, one thing that you really want to accomplish or really want to do while you're here in the United States? And she gave each one a chance to answer. And one of the lady doctors that was over here just for 3 months, she said, I want to understand Jesus. I want to know Jesus.
Praise God.
Now, she comes from an atheist country, you know. And so the question, of course, was, why is that, you know? And she said, well, I teach back in China, and one of my students just had a peace about her. And I asked her, why did she have such peace? And she said, it's because she knew Jesus. She was a Christian. She saw it on her face. She saw it in the way she acted.
Jesus.
Aren't you glad we can have that kind of peace?
Jesus.
All right. Yeah. One last one.
You were talking about remembering. I was in a supermarket and I saw a 4-year-old little boy sitting in his mother's cart singing the ABC song. He went all the way through. When you put something to music or sing it, you remember it. But remember also on the flip side, Satan was the minister of music in heaven. Don't you know that our young children are hearing dangerous, ugly rap songs, and they remember those. Mm-hmm. And what you sing and put your music affects you emotionally.
Yep.
Just like the psalms that they sang in the Old Testament times gave them peace. So you see both sides of that coin. What we sing, we remember. I remember the ABC song. How long ago was that? 100 years? Close. You know, if we sing the songs, the last 3 songs in the Bible are praise songs. Mm-hmm. Make up your own tune. You will remember them simply because you sang them.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray, and then I want us to sing a song. All right? A short one, okay?
You can take 5. She needs 5 more minutes. You can take 5 or 2 more.
Oh, please. Oh, 4 more minutes. Oh, for that. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right. Go ahead and get your stuff ready. That's all right. I will say this. Let's do a song. Let's do a song. Since you said that, there's a song that we teach our children, hopefully. I was taught as a child. I hope you've learned this song. And it's a really good song. All right, let's see if I can find the right key. Jesus loves me, this I know,
for the Bible tells me so.
Little ones to him belong,
they are weak, but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Why?
The Bible tells me so.
You remember that, don't you? How long has that been since you sung that song, but yet you still remember?
Long.
100
years.
100
years. Long time.
Mary says a long time. Okay, that's good. Anything else? You need 5 minutes, or
no? You need 5 more minutes.
Huh?
Okay. Take 5 more.
Take 5 more minutes. Okay. Well,
you
all right.
If we can sing another song if you want to. Childhood songs.
That would be good. That would be good. Well, let me just cover one more thing that's on there that I haven't gotten to here. He says. Of course, you know, we were talking about that. Let not your hearts be troubled. Mm. Neither let them be
afraid.
Y'all know that word. You see, you know this. I'm just bringing all this back to your memory. God's peace is found in the heart and not in outward circumstances. Mm. Now he's going on.
That's
and he's going to say something.
Repeat that again.
All right.
It's found in our heart.
God's peace is found in the heart. What did he say? Let not your
heart
be troubled.
And not in the circumstances.
Right? Don't let your heart be afraid.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Take on my peace. Take on my peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled.
Not in your circumstances.
Not in your
emphasize it more.
You know, the early Christians their circumstances were certainly not peaceful. You know? I mean, there were people after them. You didn't have to be a Paul to be, you know, to be under persecution. Right? In fact, as we go on, we'll find out that Jesus is going to warn his disciples about persecution. In the world, you will have
persecution.
Trouble.
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 Yeah, he says if you keep your mind on me, you'll have perfect peace.
There you go.
That's good.
There you go. You see? You see? Right there. Let's jump down to verse 20. We'll read that. He says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So he's talking about the world. Verse 27, he says, the world. Verse 30 and 31, the world. He says, don't worry about the world. Right? He says, it has no claim on me. Has no claim on me. It has no right to do anything to me. Right? What it does is outside of right. What it does is wrong. So I can have peace because I am in Him. You know, Paul says, you know, I consider that the troubles of this present world are not even to be considered with the glory that we're going to have in Christ. Mm-hmm. Right? He said that, right? In Romans 8. He said, it's not even worth comparing.
Amen.
The little bitty bit of trouble that we have in our few short years here on earth, not even worth comparing with the glory we're going to have throughout eternity, way on. You know? And that's what he said. That was, you know, the bitty bit of trouble that we're having here. We think this is you know, we get up every morning, oh, I got trouble today. There's nothing. Think about eternity. Think about eternity.
Why do sometimes we see the troubles so big? Why do sometimes in this life
the
troubles so big?
Tell us, Mary.
Because that's what we're meditating on. That's what we're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And not His promises. Our mind is on the trouble and not on Him. So the trouble is bigger than Him.
Amen.
And He's already overcame that. Whatever trouble you're in, it's already overcame. See, I understand that for the first time in 20 years. Mm-hmm. I understand that for the first time. The ruler of this world is Satan. He keeps talking about the world, and that world right there is really, it needs to be added in the translation because it's ruler. Okay? And that's what it's saying. The ruler of this world is what brings you anxiety. It brings you all these troubles. He overcame all that.
Amen.
And all we got to do is allow the trust to take place, then the peace comes in. Because I understand that. Now I finally get that after 20 years.
Praise God.
Heavy, ready.
Praise
God. I wrote it down.
When you have peace from within, the world depends on other things, pride and crutches, to make the difference. And then it don't work. But we have peace from within. We can enjoy life from within. We can supply fully because we're supplied fully.
Yes. Well, we can take that peace within and put it on the circumstance and the situation.
On everything.
And bring it into kingdom alignment.
Right. That's right. The fruit of the Spirit.
Because He overcame it all.
That's the fruit of the Spirit.
Because we all have it. We all have a fruit.
I know we have to work at it. It don't just automatically come out. So.
Yeah.
I know you know that. But I'm saying some people have it and they know they have it. But in the situation, they just fall apart because they're not using what's on. They're not living from within. They're living on the outside.
And the Holy Ghost needs to put them in remembrance that their trust is in Jesus and He's already overcame it.
While you're going that journey, as God told me, He says, Deborah, your friends are your scaffolding while I'm working on you.
Oh, that's good.
They're around you. I have people called alongside so that when I get to that point that I'm anxious or concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I have especially one friend that's a minister. When something is going on in my life and I'm not seeing the clearness of it, she'll say, God told me so and so. She'll call me up and it'll be
God.
Exactly what's going on in my life, and she'll say, God is not she just called me this week and said, God is not concerned about what these people are doing. He's concerned about how you are reacting to it.
That's true.
That changed the whole week around for me. That little cap, the scaffolding, to keep you from going mm-hmm. that way. That's what scaffolding is on the building while you're building it. Mm-hmm. Or to keep you from tilting too much one way or the other. You need those people. If you don't have
Amen.
Them,
yes,
ask
do.
God to send them alongside. And he'll send you one, two people, three, whatever. You need that scaffolding around you to help you while he's working on you. So if a brick falls off, they go and get it, put it back in.
We can remember that scripture, he has no power over me.
Yes.
We can remember that. He has no power because he's already been defeated. I was listening to Ruth Graham, a thing about Billy Graham's wife, and it showed her, she was a missionary. Her parents were missionaries in China, too. And at the, her, have you seen her tombstone? Her the slab on it, it's in Chinese. But anyway, they wrote on their construction completed.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Praise
all right, well,
bless it.
We're going to bless our food and we're going to go ahead and break for breakfast, okay? Father, thank you so much for blessing us so much with food, drink, and good fellowship, good Christian fellowship. Bless what we say. May everything we think, do, and say bring honor and glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.